Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
All right, we're going to go part two of our series on guardrails. How many came today because I told you what the series title was? Scott's going to sing it for you. Why can't we be friends? So I'll sing it, except me, I'm not allowed. Why can't we be friends? We're talking about guardrails, and guardrails, we see them all the time when we're driving. They are those big metal things or cement things, and what do? They keep you from going and straying off into a dangerous or off-limits place. That's what they do for cars. But for us personally, we're doing a series on guardrails, and it's all about having those personal boundaries in your life that are going to keep you from going off into dangerous areas or off-limits places. Somebody say, I need those.
I need those.
Having healthy guardrails in your life will keep you from living a life filled with regret. Because how many of us in here, we could all raise our hands where we have had decisions and things that have happened, and we've looked back on it and we've asked ourselves, what in the world was I thinking? Right? Or we've said this, why didn't I listen? Why didn't I listen? You know, God's word is filled with wisdom. Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
It's filled with wisdom. And sometimes people say, oh, the Bible's old-fashioned. The Bible's out of date. It doesn't really apply anymore. The Bible is more relevant now than ever. We need the word and the wisdom that God has for us. And so last week we talked about just having those healthy boundaries in our life, putting those guardrails up, what they are, and why we need it. So turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. You can follow along on your Bible app if you want. And this is just a little bit of review of why we need them. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 15 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." How many want to walk as a wise person? Now, I told you guys last week, if you come to my house and you go in my backyard, you must walk circumspectly. That means to be aware of where you're walking. Why? Because I have four beasts. And if you don't walk circumspectly in my backyard, you might get some poo on your shoe. So you need to watch where you're walking. It would be foolish to walk out in my backyard and just be like, la-di-da, and just walk all over. You would be a mess. You would be a literal mess. The same thing is true for our life. If we don't walk wise and we don't watch where we're going, we are going to be a mess. You ever met anybody who's a mess? Don't look around. Don't look around. Have you ever been a mess? I can raise my hand. Yes, I have been a mess. Why? Because I didn't watch where I was going, I didn't listen, and I didn't pay attention to the Word of God and thought I knew better. That pretty much sums it up, doesn't it? All right, let's keep going. So we're going to talk today about how important it is to have guardrails with our friendships. And here's the thing that makes friendships so great is also the thing that makes friendships so dangerous. Everybody wants to have friends and be friends, and that's great, and God designed us to want community in our life. God designed you to run in a pack. You run with people, and that's how God made us, and that's a good thing. But the thing that makes friendship so great is also what makes it so dangerous, and here's why. Because when we're with our friends, what do? We put our guard down. We relax. We just let our hair down a little bit. And when you are relaxed and when you feel accepted, that is when you are the most susceptible to influence. And so that's why, you know, as kids and now those of everybody who has kids, you're very concerned with who your kids are hanging out with, right? That's like one of your big concerns. Who are you hanging out with? Who's going to be there? Because you know that when we're with a group of people, that we are very subject to influence. And so we got to have our guard up. You got to be careful who you're letting in, because you're letting that influence in. And so, you know, the thing about it is that all of us are designed to want acceptance. Every one of us wants to be accepted, right? And we crave acceptance, and we look for acceptance. And when we finally find a group of people that accept us, we're all in. We're like, these are my peeps. These are my peeps. These are my people. And so the thing is, sometimes because we crave acceptance, we'll allow ourselves in a group that really isn't for us. It's not for us. It's not what we want. And so that's why we got to be really careful. Solomon gives the most wise, he's the wisest man ever. The wisest man ever. And he gives some great advice. And it's over in Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 20. Now turn there if you will, chapter 13, verse number 20. This is so good. We need guardrails up, because in life, we're always going to be around people that are moving in opposite directions of us. Aren't you glad when you're zipping down the highway, there's that median that keeps those people on their side and you on your side? That's a good thing. And so in life, we're always going to have people that are going in opposite directions. And so we have to have those healthy boundaries, those healthy guardrails that say, you know what, this is going to keep me from getting in a situation that I don't want to be in. Now, the thing about guardrails, if you notice, is that they're not in the most dangerous area. Where's the guardrail at? It's about 3 feet, 3 or 4 feet in. And it keeps you. It's in a safe zone. The guardrail is in a safe zone. But what's beyond the guardrail, that's where the danger comes in. That's where the catastrophe is. That's where the destruction in life comes. And so healthy guardrails are going to keep me from getting in that place where I'm looking up saying, man, how did this happen? This is not the life that I wanted to live. And so, Proverbs tells me how to do that. He says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Sounds good, right? How many want to be wise? And then it says, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Now, this is a very powerful verse. And we look at it up here, and the first part of it, it says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. That's a promise. How many love the promises of God? How many have ever gotten a promise book, you know, where it just lists all the promises of God? Those are great, right? You know, they even have those at Publix. I saw them at Publix. This is awesome. The promises of God. And, you know, there's over 7,000 promises in the Bible. Good stuff that God says, this is for you. And this is one of them. He says, listen, if you walk with wise men, you will be wise. Sounds good, right? The next half of the verse is a warning. And it says, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Now today, we're just going to camp right here. This is our verse today. So if I walk with wise men, I'll be wise. But if I'm a companion of fools, then destruction is coming. Here's the thing I want you to see about this. I don't have to be a fool to have destruction in my life. I just have to hang out with fools. You don't have to be a fool. You just got to hang out with fools. And so when we see this, you can see here that wisdom is contagious. Because if I walk with wise men, the Bible says I shall. And if you know anything about like Bible study, if you probably heard me preach it, or Pastor Angel, or Pastor God, somebody, that the word shall, say shall. We don't use that word a lot anymore, but that word, you can ask any attorney in a contract. Whenever you look at a contract, how many of you see the word shalls in there a lot? They still use it there all the time. You know why they use it? Because it's the strongest word in the English language there is for it will happen. When the Bible says it shall, you can bank on it. And so he says, when you walk with wise men, you're going to be wise. But if you just hang out with fools, destruction will be in your life. Foolishness is not contagious. You don't catch it like you catch wisdom. But just being in the company of fools leads to destruction. And you can maybe like just stop and like look, think back a little bit. How many have ever been in the wrong place with the wrong person at the wrong time, and you find yourself saying, but I didn't even do anything. But you were there. You were there, and all that destruction that's running through that fool's life is going to catch up on you. It's going to get on you. Next thing you know, you're going to be caught in a situation, and you're going to say, I didn't even do anything. And Solomon is saying, you don't have to do anything. You keep running with fools, you're going to have destruction in your life. And so let's look at the difference between a wise person and a foolish person. A wise people, say that's me.
That's me.
That's me. Wise people are careful about obeying God's word. Wise people pay attention to the word. But foolish people are careless about obeying God's word or rules. Foolish people are careless with rules. How many people do you think are sitting in jail right now because they thought they could get by, they could get around, they could loophole through, or nobody would find out that they broke some rules? Probably quite a few. Foolish people don't take rules seriously. They don't care about them. They don't care about the word. They don't care about the law. They don't care about it. It's foolish. But it says wise people, we think about stuff like that. Say we think, because we're all wise in here, right? Wise people understand that all of life is connected. There are no isolated incidents. And a wise person makes decisions and thinks about their life for tomorrow. But a foolish person thinks that there are no connected events, that everything is isolated. Here's what a fool says. It's only going to be this one time. It's only going to be this one time. No one will find out. Who's going to know? Who's it going to hurt? It's my business. Everybody's doing it. A foolish person thinks, I can do this and it won't affect any of this. They don't make any, their decisions are based on now and now alone. And that makes it foolish. But a wise person realizes that the decisions I make today will affect tomorrow, and the decisions I make affect the people I care about. Amen?
Right.
But a fool only thinks of now and themselves. And everything is disconnected. What I do now, it's not going to matter. And that's foolish thinking. When we think about the people, and we're talking about friendship today, when we have our friends, we've got to realize that who we run with influences us. And we can ask ourselves, if our friends are not concerned about their own lives, their own marriages, their own finances, their own future, they are certainly not going to be concerned about mine.
Right.
Because they don't even care about their own. And that would make them foolish. And so when we see this and we know what the word says about it, I want to give you just a few things to think about when it comes to friendships. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 33, I love this verse. I've taught it for years. And it says, do not be misled. If the Bible tells me, do not be misled, what does that mean? It means I can be misled. That you can be misled in this area. He says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. And when it comes to friends, let's think about our own lives and the lives of people we know. And we talk to anybody who has fallen into a destructive lifestyle or gotten themselves in a jam and a sinful habit or something like that. I would imagine that probably way more than half would be, and they're saying would be, well, I had a friend. Ask yourself, when's the first time you smoked pot? I had a friend. When's the first time you shot up? I had a friend. When's the first time you stole something? I had a friend. When's the first time you skipped school? I had a friend. When's the first time you cheated on somebody? I had a friend. It's always the friend. Those darn friends. Is that not the truth? I had a friend. There's a story in the Bible in 2 Samuel, and it's talking about David's son. I mean, if you're the son of David, I mean, he's the most prosperous king there is. How many would say your life's going to be pretty good? But this guy had an issue. He had a friend. And so here he is. He's the prince. He's living a princely life. And he's got this friend that the Bible says is subtle and crafty and shady. Sounds like a weasel, right? I mean, he's just got this friend. Long story short, this guy ends up getting killed by his other half-brother. He gets killed because of the decisions that he made, that his friend kept telling him, it'll be all right. No one will know. Who's going to find out? You're a prince. You deserve this. It ended his life. But here's the thing about fools. A lot of times, the consequences don't catch them. They catch you. Yeah. Isn't that the truth? They catch you. And in this story of David's son, you know, it was the fool, the buddy. His name is Jonabab. When the son got killed, it was Jonabab. The Bible said that he was still lurking about the palace. And then it was him that went and told David that his son was killed. What kind of friend is that? Wasn't even mourning his loss. You got to be careful who you let in. We got to have guardrails up in our life. Like if this was my guardrail, I need to have guardrails when it comes to friendships. Because when I'm in a friendship, now we're not, you know what a friendship is? A friendship is not like, hey, how you doing? I'll see you next week. Hey, what's going on? That's not a friendship. A friendship is someone who's in your life. It's the person that you are with, your core group. It's the person you call. It's the person you laugh with. It's the person who knows you, the person you talk to, the person you get advice from. That person is your friend. And you need guardrails up, because all of us in here could tell stories of getting caught with the wrong crowd and it leading us places. And we look and we think, man, I wish I would have been smarter. You know, I think about my own life and when I was walking with God, and this is just the truth, sometimes never get to the point where you feel like you are above the influence of someone, because we never are. I will never forget, I was teaching Bible study, going to church, on my way to Bible school, called to full-time ministry and knew it, and in walked a guy in my life. Had I practiced what I preached in those moments and said, I need to have guardrails. I got to work with you, but I need healthy guardrails. But I didn't. Next thing you know, I'm way past. I'm doing stuff I never would even have considered doing. I'm doing stuff that just, I thought, if somebody had told me somebody was doing that, I'd be like, what is wrong with them? And it was me. It is like, you know, and then just laying awake at night thinking, how did this happen? How did I get here? And just the heartbreak, the pain, the hurt, and the journey home. Man, I wouldn't wish that on anybody. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. We need healthy guardrails when it comes to relationships. Because who we let in, we've all heard the saying, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. That's the truth. That's the truth. Pastor Scott and I were talking, and, you know, we've been in ministry a long time, and we've seen people come in, our own selves, you know, the both of us came out of the world, and God changed our lives miraculously. And we were talking about just the people who, when they make a decision to live for God, and they make a decision to change their life, they all have one thing in common. Every one of them who do it successfully, who have long-term change in their life, and move towards victory and out of destruction. Every one of them, myself, Pastor Scott, Pastor Angel, Angie, all of us have one thing in common. We made dramatic changes to the people in our lives. We made dramatic changes. You say, oh, but I don't want to hurt their feelings. Ask yourself, what help are you doing if you're both in the pit? What help are you doing if you're both on your way to hell? Right? What help are you being if you're both going to be in a place in your life that is no success, no future, nothing. If you're both there, wouldn't it be better to get out of the pit, get yourself strong, get yourself established, and then when it's time, you can go back and help somebody. But you got to get out first. Amen? And so here's just a few things, that if these things are happening, you know how some guardrails, the danger zone is so big that they put flashing yellow lights on them? I mean, it's like a sharp curve and like there's just a steep drop on the other side. I tell you, these things right here, if these are going on, if when I say these, if on the inside you're like, man, that's me, you need to know that there is a giant flashing Holy Ghost light saying,
come on.
Run! Here we go. Number one. When it dawns on you that your core group of friends isn't moving in the direction you want your life to move. Look at the people you hang out with. Is that where you want to be?
Come on.
Is that where you want to be? Ask yourself, in a year, in 6 months, do I want to be like you? If the answer is no, then you need to get out of that. Because the truth of the matter is, that is where you're heading. One of the guys in first service came up and he spent 2 years at Faith Farm in recovery, 2 years. Now he's happily married, doing great, has a successful business. And he said, you know what we used to say at Faith Farm for 2 years? They say, if nothing changes, nothing changes. That's just profound, right? That's just a bumper sticker waiting to happen right there. If nothing changes, nothing changes. And that's true. And so we need to ask ourselves, do I want to go where everybody else, where the people in my crew are going? If the answer is no, you need to change crews. Right? You know, I mean, I see people that change their life and make decisions. And one of the things that makes me so happy about BVC is that we have a group of young people, the 20-something crowd. There's like a whole group of them. And some of them have been in church their whole lives. Some of them are in recovery. Some of them have never been in church, and this is all new. But I'll tell you, I just see them going from victory to victory and growing so steadily and strong. It makes my heart burst. But here's the thing they have in common. They hang together. They hang together. They encourage one another. They call each other out when they need to. And there's power in that. And so we need to ask ourselves, if I don't want to go where my group is going, I need a new group. Next one is, when you catch yourself pretending to be someone you're not when you're around your friends. That's a danger zone. You're too close to the edge. Because you got to ask yourself, why do I have to pretend to be something I'm not? Am I not enough? And if you're not enough, then what kind of friends are these? Right? If you constantly got to impress the people you're with, you're in a danger zone. Because it's going to take more and more to impress them. It's going to take more and more. You're going to have to push the limit more and more. Next thing you know, you're going to find yourself doing something, you're going to wind up on the news. I always say, you never want to be on the news. Right? It's never good. But I mean, how many times have we seen young people especially where, oh, they thought it was funny or it was just a prank or it was that. Next thing you know, they're in jail. Their life is changed forever. Their life is ruined. And usually the lives of others are too. You say, oh, that'll never happen to me. That's what everybody says. That's what everybody says. And so we got to ask ourselves, should be a warning light. Do I got to pretend when I'm with you? Because that's not healthy. A life of duplicity is dangerous. The Bible tells me in James that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And that's why it's dangerous. You guys ready? I'm going to step on a little toe a little bit. Put your toes in. I understand having church friends and other friends. I get that. You have church friends and work friends or church friends and school friends or church friends and family, whatever. I get that. But here's where it's dangerous. if my church friends don't recognize me when I'm over here, or my friends over here don't recognize me when I'm over here. That's trouble. That means you are leading two different lives. And so you're going back and forth. You got one foot in, one foot. It's okay to have different sets of friends. I think everybody does that to a measure. But we need to be the same wherever we are. The idea that you need to lie about where you've been and what you've done when you're with your church friends, that's religion. And it's not healthy. Church friends are going to love you no matter where you've been. Or they should. And if they don't, they need a talking to. They need a talking to. Now, they may not be like, oh man, that's cool, that's great, I'm so glad you were there. What you may hear, and a lot of times the reasons why we're not real with this group is because we don't want to hear the truth. The truth that says, dude, that's not a good road. You're hanging out with fools, and destruction is coming. But no matter what group we're in, let's be us, let's be me. Because if you don't, you're straddling both sides, and you're like going back and forth and back and forth. And then you're wondering why don't I feel solid? Why don't I feel whole? Why don't I feel complete? Why isn't this working? It's because you're so unstable. Because you got one, you got your you here. This is my church me, and this is my other me. And that's dangerous. It's dangerous. The Bible says when we do that, when we're double-minded, we're unstable. And you know how easy, you know what the thing about being unstable is? When something's rocking, it's real easy just to push it over. It's real easy to just go, and down you go. But when you're solid, it's a whole lot harder to knock you over. And so I get the different crews of friends. I get that. But let's be the same us no matter where we are. Amen? Let's keep going. Talking about things that really we need to pay attention to. And when you hear yourself saying, this is a warning sign, this is a yellow light on your guardrail. When you hear yourself saying, I'll go, but I won't participate. Hello. I'm going to go, but I'm not going to do that, you know. But yeah, sure, I'll go. But what does that verse say? Put the verse back up for me. What does it say? Now, if you say, I'm going to go, but I'm not going to participate, whatever that is, I'm not going to, obviously you feel like participation is not smart, right? Because you say, I'm going to go, but I'm not going to participate. So you can fill in the blank whatever that participation is. You fill that in. So you feel like that's not a smart thing to do. It's not wise. But the Bible tells me, no, go to Proverbs 20:30. It says, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. So listen, you may not be participating, but you're still a companion of fools. And destruction is still in your future. And really, we need to ask ourselves, if I don't think something is good, why do I want to get as close to it as I can? How wise is that? How wise is it? If I don't want to participate in whatever it is for you, if I don't want to participate, but why do I still want to get real close to it? That's just, how many think that sounds foolish?
Yeah.
It sounds foolish. Let's go to the next one. And, you know, one of the things when we hear ourselves saying, you know what, we hear ourselves considering things as an option of stuff we never would have considered before. You ever been there? Where, like, just something, like, you take 2 months back, you'd be like, man, I will never do that. I'm never doing that. That's my line. I'm never doing that. But then you keep hanging out with those fools. Next thing you know, you're saying, well, maybe. Not that bad. You're doing it. They're doing it. Everybody's doing it. Next thing you know, you're considering things that you never would have before you started hanging out with this group of people. It's dangerous. I can't tell you how many people have sat in my office and said, you know, I swore that I would never do this. But then, here I am. I swore I'd never, you know, I don't want to say what they are because I don't want to call anybody out. I want you to think I'm talking about you. But, you know, we've all been there. We've all been there. We said, man, I would never do that. Next thing you know, because of the people we're hanging out with, we're right there with them. We have got to put up guardrails when it comes to our friendships. You know, I could teach you Greek words in the Bible. I could teach you some pretty cool stuff. I mean, you know, I'm an educated person. But I'll tell you what is most important for us, what will keep you from some of the biggest pitfalls, destructions, in, you know, families being ruined, people winding up in jail, addictions that last for years, all kinds of hurt that you can't even imagine. What will save you from that is if you will just accept God's word. A companion of fools leads to destruction. It's a simple verse with profound impact on our life. Walk with the wise and you shall be wise. But a companion of fools will lead to destruction. None of us want destruction in our life. None of us want to have to look at our parents and say, I'm sorry this happened. None of us wants to look at our spouse and say, I'm sorry, I never meant for this to happen. None of us wants to leave our kids in one house and have to go move to another because we've done something. None of us want to have to be fired from our jobs because we did one thing that we thought nobody would find out about. None of us want that. No, but the thing you gotta realize is that nobody wants that. Why does it still happen? Because we don't have guardrails in our lives. Amen. And we just keep going. It's just inch by inch by inch. And then wham! Lives are changed. Somebody's like, I'm awake! I'm awake! Be wise. And save yourself, your family. Save them from pain that nobody deserves. Amen? Amen? Save them. Save yourself. God's got somewhere for you to be. He's got a call on your life. He's got plans for you. And the enemy is constantly trying to pull you off that road that God has for you. And he does it with those subtle, weaselly friends. That's one of the ways he does it. And we've just got to say, you know what? I'm sorry. We cannot be friends. I love you. I care about you. I'll pray for you. But I cannot be friends with you. You say, oh, that sounds so mean. You can never confuse compassion for wisdom. You can't do that. It's better for at least one of you to be out of the ditch. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, I pray for everybody here, Lord. I know this is a struggle that we all have because we all love people. We love the people in our lives. But Lord, I just ask for you to just help each one of us recognize if a relationship in our life is not healthy for us. Help us see that if something is taking us down a road or to a path that just isn't good. Lord, if we're a companion of fools, please show us and help us to walk with the wise. We trust your word. We know it's true. And Lord, our want to is very strong. But it's so hard. It's so much easier said than done. And so we ask for your help to make good decisions in our relationships. Lord, help us to set up good, strong guardrails so that we don't have to fall into the pit. We don't have to have a life filled with destruction, but we have the life that is blessed that you want for us. That's our prayer today. We just ask for your help. Lord, help us to surround ourselves with people that want to go the same place. They want to go in your presence. They want to go into the life you've called us to live. They want to go to a place of victory, a place of compassion, a place of service, a place of doing what you've called us to do. Lord, help us to have those kinds of people all around us. Oh, we just thank you. And Lord, for those of us who have gone past the guardrail and we've gotten ourselves just in a mess, in a jam, and just craziness has happened. Holy Spirit, we just ask you to help us. You are the rebuilder of our lives, Lord. And for those things that maybe it feels like there's someone here today, I just believe you feel like that life is over because of all the mistakes you've made. life is over. But I want to encourage you to know that God is a rebuilder. He is a restorer of all things that are lost. When you turn to God, He will make all things brand new and give you a fresh start. And you say, well, what about all the time that I've wasted in addiction, or all the time that I've wasted just living like I shouldn't be living? What about all that time? Oh, you've got a God who redeems time. He redeems time. God can do more in less than a second than your efforts in right living could have done for 50 years. God can do more. And He will restore the time that has been lost because He loves you. It is never too late with God. I say it all the time. You can go 1,000 steps away from Him, but He's always one step back. If you're here today with every head bowed and you say, Peggy, I want to make that step back today. I want to make a fresh commitment to God. I've been doing my own thing, but today I want to commit anew to God. I want to say, Lord, I'm back. I'm back. If that's you, and nobody looking around, just out of respect for people, just raise your hand up big and tall. Let God see how serious you are. You say, I'm back. I see your hand. Anybody else? I see your hand over here. See your hand over there. Now, I need to recommit my life to God. I need to do what that song said today. Lord, have your way. Or maybe you're here today and you say, I've never given my whole heart to Jesus. I've never asked Him into my heart. I've never been born again. But today I recognize that I need more than just me. I need a God who loves me, who forgives me, who accepts me just like I am, and who has a plan for my life. I need a Savior. If you're here today and you say, I need a Savior, I need Jesus, He's here for you. And He wants to give you all of Him, all His love, His forgiveness, His restoration, His power, all the good stuff that God has. He wants to just pour out on your life and give you a brand new start. If that's you today, just raise your hand up big and say, Peggy, that's me. I need to receive Jesus for the first time. Oh, we thank you, Lord. For the sake of those who raise their hand to recommit their lives to God, let's all say this prayer with them. Let's show them that we're with them on this, that they're not alone, and let's say it loud. You guys ready? Say, Father God, I'm back. I repent. I turn my back on a life without you. And I step into a life with you. I fully commit my life to you. I'm not going anywhere. I'm a child of God. I'm saved. I'm set free. I'm forgiven. And today's a new day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Aren't you glad for a fresh start? Oh, I love a fresh start. Amen. God will give you as many as you need. For those of you guys who came back to God today, it is a fresh start, new life. God's not interested in where you've been. He's interested in where you are right now. Amen? All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to receive our supernatural tithes and offering. Who's ready for that?